If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, Jeremiah Jensen, Stevenson Sylvester in for Alex Carey today. We roll into the 5 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by G2G Bars with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. We appreciate you listening today, wherever you're at. And we're excited about our next guest. It's Tim Lacombe, and he is The Cut right now.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You can hear him right here on the Jazz pregame show from 6 to 7 with Jake Scott on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Tonight as the Jazz take on the Cleveland Cavaliers, Sam Merrill in town, Donovan Mitchell not playing. We'll dig into the Jazz and a lot more, a lot of college hoop stuff going on. We want to talk to the coach about. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Happy Tuesday to everybody. And, it, you know, if I'm the cut, then we've had a slow news day because I've been cut on. I've been cut from a team. But, yeah, I've never, you know, there ain't no news story around this kid, JJ.
We're not actually cutting you. This is not the last, hopefully not the last time we have you on the show. First of many.
Well, that would be epic. I mean, that'd be for good radio.
Not today. We don't need any drama today, Coach.
Before, all right, cool.
We got a lot of stuff to get into. I got a lot of college stuff I want to get into with you. We'll get there, though. We got to start with the Jazz, though. The Jazz current state of things. I mean, Will Hardy's been honest about it. You know, the quote he had the other night I thought was really great. He talked about how this last 7 games are really important to the Jazz, because they're trying to win a championship and all these games matter for these young guys. Why are these 7 games important to you? Why do you believe these last 7 games are so important?
Well, because I think, you know, fans and people on the exterior kind of look at games as though it's only 2 outcomes, you know, a win or a loss. And unfortunately for the last, you know, seems like a couple of weeks, the Jazz have been on the wrong side of that, those 2 options. But there's way more at play here. I think it's obvious that the Jazz are between, you know, what they had is a really good team and they're in the midst of building another one. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you try to insulate yourself from losing a lot, but, you know, it is what it is right now with the Jazz. And so I think you don't have to look that far, just to the other night when, you know, Keontae and Bryce and Taylor had 58 points between the 3 of them, you know, albeit in a loss. But, like, you cannot replace that sort of opportunity, you know, be able to get a ton of time. And I just say, like, right now, that for those 3 guys particularly, this time is so valuable because it's really kind of a springboard into what is hopefully a really productive summer for each of them. And then, you know, into next year with now some experience under your belt, and not just experience sitting and watching, but knowing what it's like and what's required to start an NBA game, to play 30 minutes a night, the conditioning, the nutrition, the sleep, I mean, all of it. So I mean, they're really on a crash course right now, but, you know, that's why I say there's more than 2 outcomes. You know, if they run great offense right now and miss a shot, you know, because perhaps spacing isn't as true as it might be with Lowry in the game, you know, the coaches can see that on film and understand, hey, these guys are making improvement. So it's a hiss and a byword around here, but that's where we are.
What does the team feel like right now? What are their feelings when they know, you know, of course, there's no outcome, there's no playoffs. What's the energy on the team when, and do they feel these last 7 games are important to their development?
Yeah, I think that everybody at this point, I mean, as a team, I think they understand that their season's going to come to an end when the games are, you know, not scheduled anymore. They don't get to wait and see who they play. And so, yeah, to make the most of this time, you know, you've got some veterans that are banged up and they're sitting out. I think that's wise. And again, it's wise for a lot of different reasons, but it's wise because it's more opportunity, more minutes for these guys.
More visibility,
to get these opportunities.
So there's still a great product on the floor tonight. We've seen the Jazz compete really hard, and you get to see some of the best players in the NBA come in here, and this game should be great. I think the Jazz are going to compete and battle this team. Donovan Mitchell's not playing. That's kind of a bummer, but Sam Merrill is back, and he only gets to come here once a year. This is the chance he has to come back home. I know you've known Sam well over the years, recruiting him and battling against him in games. Just how excited are you for Sam, and what has allowed Sam Merrill to take things to the next level and become an NBA rotation player?
Well, I think he had really, really great parents. And I think in a day and age where guys can get kind of tossed to and fro, you know, for the next big deal and really get caught up in all that stuff, I think he had a really solid home life and his parents were solid. I think he understood early on that he had a special skill, but it wasn't, you know, something he used as a chip. I think he continued to work. And when he got to college, you know, a lot of guys, I've arrived, you know, and that was not him. I'm sitting here watching the monitor. I'm up in the fifth floor studio right now. And, you know, Sam's out there right now just firing shots from the logo. I will say this, like they say, good things happen to good people. And this is truly one of those cases. This is just a terrific guy and has been, you know, like you said, from the time we started getting to know each other way back when in the basketball world and even today, you know, he's a guy that you text him, he texts you right back. He's a really, really good human being.
You mentioned the rookies having that big night against Sacramento. And obviously you love to see the points, but what other areas of growth are you seeing from them? I'll even throw Walker in there. What are you seeing from Walker right now? I'll lump him into these young guys, this young core. What are you seeing from these guys that maybe fans aren't seeing outside of the box score?
Yeah, if you just looked at the box score last game, you'd think that Walker just had a pedestrian night. And he's had some rough nights this year, and he's struggling, you know, with a little bit of confidence. The other night was not that. He was locked in. I really felt like he got a boost out of starting. And, you know, like Coach said in the post game, you know, and it really makes sense watching from a distance, but I've always said it, Walker's really hard on himself, it seems. You know, he wants to do everything just right. And the other night Coach said that, you know, Walker, he had to tell him, like, not every possession has to be a masterpiece. You know, some of the best possessions or plays that, you know, I've ever been around in coaching, you go out there with a plan, but, you know, a good team's going to take that away, and it's really how you react to that. And he was so good the other night. He was flying around. Coach used those words, and I love when a big guy flies around. So this is really important, and I think the things I'm noticing are just, I mean, these guys have an idea. I think Taylor understands he's got to work on his handle, and Keontae, you know, I'd say his one thing is consistency. You know, Bryce has gotten himself in such good physical condition, and, you know, he's really a much better passer than I thought. But, you know, maybe it's the consistency for him, too, on his side. But those things aren't huge things, and I think all three of them have shown, like, the other night, you know, 58 against Sacramento. The other really great stat was he only gave up 8 points in transition that night. That's been a huge area of concern, and I think they worked as a group to kind of do a better job. So I saw development improvement in that part of the game.
I got a quick question for you. There's a guy I've liked him since college. He's finally starting to work his way up through the G League, and I see he's got a roster spot now. Kenny Lofton. What is your impressions of him, and what could he potentially bring to this team in the future?
I love Kenny Lofton. I've always loved him. I think he's just a unique guy. Mm-hmm. And I honestly believe, like Danny Ainge has told me before, he really likes to find unique guys. So Lofton is that. He reminds me a little bit, or DJ Burns in the final four reminds me a little of Lofton. He's got great footwork, amazing hand, deft touch. Yeah, it's really opportunity at this point, Sylvester. I think it's more than anything, it's him getting the chance, kind of like Chris Dunn did last year.
Right.
But I sure like him, and I think if he can improve his body, really focus, I'd say that's the number one thing for him. But, man, in terms of a bucket, if that's what you play for, that dude plays for the right reasons because he's buckets.
He's a walking bucket.
He certainly is. Look forward to the pregame show tonight from 6 to 7. Jake and Coach will take you up to tip off Jazz Cavs tonight on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. They'll have a lot more Jazz talk and getting you ready for that game. But I've got to spend some time, Coach, asking some college stuff because there's some really fascinating things going on. And I got to start with the women's game. 12.3 million viewers last night watch Iowa-LSU. That's more than the NBA Finals, the World Series, the Orange Bowl, the Big Ten Championship, the Cotton Bowl, the Pac-12 Championship, the Big 12 Championship, the ACC Championship in football and Thursday Night Football in the NFL. That game had so much buzz, and it lived up to the hype. I'm sure you watched it as well. We're all watching it. We're all talking about it, and this is such a great moment for the women's game. Why is this happening with the women's game? Why is there so much star power? Why is the game going to such another level with the interest and the play?
You know, I think the time that's put in, you know, the training, it's really starting to pay dividends. And there are a lot of just amazing work being done out there in the grassroots level, particularly on the girls' side. I mean, former Ute Keith Van Horn has a really amazing, you know, AAU group for girls. He has a boys and girls team, but he really has put a ton of time and resources into the girls. And I just, you know, as I watched and recruited, and watch my colleagues on the women's side, it's, you know, little by little, I think the skill level's definitely gotten better. You know, women could always shoot the ball. Girls could always shoot the ball really good. You know, they come into our gym and outshoot our guys. But what I think they've really added is just the, you know, more of the technique. I think over time, just like you've seen the European influence come into the U.S., I think it's just really at the grassroots level has caught on. And you know as well as I do, it's the only thing that they've just been waiting for, that sort of excitement and eyeballs. And you can put a product out there and really push it, but you know, people either buy it or they don't. And it's just amazing. I'm so excited that they have this resurgence, and it really is almost akin to how the NBA was, and you know what I believe are the best years of it. I mean, I sat here. I was a third grader when Bird and Magic played up here at the Huntsman Center. And I still remember, you know, picking sides for the game and wearing, you know, I wanted Indiana State, and, you know, half the class was in green and half in baby blue. But, you know, that tradition. And I just feel like on the women's side, this is it's a pivotal time because there are amazing coaches. Like, I watched those games. You're darn right I did. I've been watching for the last couple of years. And I've got a bunch of friends in the women's game on the college side. And I'll tell you what, as good a job, you know, sit and watch what Gino Auriemma does. And, you know, I think that it's amazing to see the level of coaching that's going on and the competitiveness. So, man, I'm all for it. I'm excited because, hey, basketball is life. I don't know if you guys know that. So if there's just more to watch that everybody gets into, you know, I'm all for it.
It's a game that a lot of people play.
Sly's a little partial football, but you did play basketball back in the day.
I did.
You did. So you can buy into that.
Were you pretty good, man?
I was. You know what's funny is a lot of guys, when I got a football scholarship, they're like, when did you start playing football? I only know you for playing basketball. So I used to play ball a little bit.
You know how Kyle Whittingham was. Taking these guys play basketball and turning them into football players.
That's correct. Well, we did just the opposite. We took the Kafusi brothers.
All right.
I know Ben's probably tight. You guys are up against it. But it's a great story. We brought the Kafusi brothers up, and it was Bronson's maybe third or fourth game. And, you know, we got a little bit of foul trouble, so coach rolled them out there. We were playing San Diego. And he was under the standard guarding a guy, and the guy shot fake. And Bronx went up in the air, you know, like any good guy is. He's going to tip the pass, of course, right? Because he used to rush in the passer. And he leaves his feet, and the guy goes up. And I'm telling you, when I say collision, it doesn't do it justice. it was like, you know, tectonic plates meeting.
Oh, wow.
Severing. it was a lot. So, they pick up the rubble, and the official kind of looks over at Coach, and he's like, called it an intentional or a flagrant foul, and Coach is like, what are you talking about? It jumped up in the air and landed on him. He said, yeah, I don't know what else to classify it as, Coach, but it was just too much.
Hey, I fouled out of every basketball game. I got my 16, 18 points, but I would foul out in the last few minutes of the game.
You got five fouls.
Hey,
use them.
I got to use them. I used them.
Hey, Coach.
So the ref just shrugged his – he shrugged his shoulders and said, I don't know what to classify it. It's just too much.
I want to ask you about some news in Logan. They've found a new men's basketball coach. They've hired Jared Calhoun out of Youngstown State. What's your reaction to that hire?
You know, I don't know Jared at all, but, you know, the minute that his name was uttered, I kind of did some digging. And I'll tell you what, he's been around some great coaches. He's been around Raleigh Massimino. He's been around the great Bob Huggins. And, you know, he's learned that this profession is a grind. If you're going to be relevant, you got to be out in front and really pushing. And I think he does that. I loved what I heard when he said, you know, that he's not really on the chase, you know, for bigger things. He sees Logan as a place he could get really comfortable and his family could really enjoy. And I think that would be so cool to almost kind of find a guy like Sue, you know, that can take in a program that's just unbelievably good at its core and just be there for a while and kind of, you know, groom it and make it better. So exciting for that. And then I really thought Wes, the women's head coach hire, I listened to him today on Scotty and Hanson. He was amazing. Yeah. You know, had a great history, was a student manager who I'm always partial to because that's how I started. And you come up, you really do learn every facet of the game by doing it that way. But he seemed awesome. I think they got energy, which I think they're looking for. They got a little bit of youth. And, you know, now the question is, can they keep everybody? That's as Stu Morrill once told me, it's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmies and Joes.
That is still as true as ever, especially in the world of NIL. You've got to have the players. You got to find a way to get them. USC's looking for a new head coach, and Mark Pope is being listed as a candidate. What would it take to get Mark Pope to leave BYU?
Well, I think just get used to this type of thing because Mark's, you know, he's just done this last year just kind of solidified the type of coach he is. I think his, you know, the way he really shocked everybody. And the bottom line is, and I just said it, if you're going to be really good at this, you got to have energy. You got to really work and understand and leave no stone unturned. And I'll tell you, that's what I love about him. So this is, you know, I don't see him leaving. I'm just my gut. I think now BYU is it's in the best basketball league in the country. They have some traction after last year. You know, I've heard some really good things are happening with NIL, which is going to put BYU in a much different place than it's ever been. So I think you combine all those factors, and Mark's got a really attractive situation. I could see him leaving for a big, like, established blue blood. You know, like when Michigan was open, I could see Mark Pope being the coach of Michigan, but ultimately, like Kentucky, you know, I think if his alma mater came calling. But outside of that, you know, this is not the Mountain West or WCC version anymore, and the resources are so much better. So I think, you know, I can't speak for the man, but I'll tell you what, he's going to get a lot of opportunities, but I think he's happy.
Yeah, you win. You deserve those opportunities and interest, and that's certainly going to be the case moving forward with Mark Pope. Last one for you real quick. Can anybody in the Final Four beat UConn, and why is UConn so dominant?
Oh, man. It's there's something about having done it before and having guys. It sounds silly, but, you know, I hiked to Squaw Peak a couple times a year, and the first time I thought, there was never going to be an end to it. I didn't know where to take the current turns, where to get shade, you know. But I stayed, you know, I got through it. And after doing it the first time, the second time was a little better because I had some know-how. I had some understanding. Sports isn't that much different. You see oftentimes places, you know, they've got to break through a barrier and they knock down that barrier and then they can go do the next thing. So I think some of it's mental, but, UConn is in my opinion, by far the best team. I think the best coach team. I think they're into some good things offensively, kind of twisting and coming at the equation a little differently than in the past. They're attacking areas that are unorthodox. And then they certainly have, you know, Klingon's just a beast. So I don't know, man. I'm really close to Nate Oates. He's a good friend, and so I'm kind of pulling for Bama because he's my really one connection to the Final Four this year. But I'll just sit back and watch it. If it were to come down to Connecticut and Purdue and watch those, you know, two contrasting styles and really the two contrasting tight big men, it'd be kind of fascinating to watch.
He's the coach, Tim Lacombe, courtesy of Spherion Staffing. You have better things to do than scramble to find your next great hire, so let Spherion Staffing do it for you. Visit them online at spherion.com/Utah. Coach, enjoy the show tonight. We'll be listening before the game, and should be a fun night over at Delta Center tonight with the Cavs in town.
Yeah, I'm feeling like they're going to, like you said, I don't know if they'll win or lose, but they'll compete.
It'll be entertaining.
More development for the young fellas.
There you
go. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. It's Tim Lacombe. Join Hans and Scotty Friday from noon to 3 at Rogers Performance Marine to celebrate their grand opening and splash into spring event. 1009 Recreation Way, North Salt Lake, Friday from noon to 3, Rogers Performance Marine. We'll be right back. The NFL Blitz is next on JJ and Alex, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
All the latest news and notes from the league and the locals in the NFL. JJ and Alex bring you the NFL Blitz. Ah! On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Brings back so many memories, that tune.
Oh, yeah. NFL films. I don't regret it. I've spent way too much time watching NFL films when I was younger.
Too much time? Is there such
a thing? No, come on. That was stupid. That was so dumb. That's impossible.
Right?
I am an idiot. Come on. No, there's never too much. It is special, right?
That's all I remember. I just remember
slow
as a kid.
Slow motion, the music.
Sitting
John
in front
Facenda.
Of the TV. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. Intro music is always a good thing.
It is nice.
This is great.
That music means it's time for the NFL Blitz. Perfect. That's just, I love this time of year, Sly, because it's off season, free agency kind of happen. There's a little loose ends that are still being taken care of. Mm-hmm. We talked about one yesterday with Zach Wilson. Where's he going to end up? Obviously, the Jets, that's up to them whether they want to trade him or not. But we talked about that yesterday. But the NFL draft is awesome. And by the way, little plug here, shameless plug, those of you listening. Join Stevenson Sylvester every Saturday and Sunday on KSL Sports Zone on Channel 5 as he breaks down locals in the NFL draft. This week we've got Sione Vaki and Keaton Slovis.
Yes.
So these are going to be fun ones.
Oh,
I'm looking forward to these.
This just sucks. We don't have enough time. For guys like Sione, like, who do everything.
Right.
You want to break down
why. Do we do
why?
An offensive breakdown or a defensive breakdown?
I don't know. We'll have to talk to Matt about that. I like
that.
How
do we do this? Because he's going to be a safety in the NFL, but our best highlights of Sione Vaki
is on offense.
Is on offense.
Right.
And we want to show those because that's great TV.
Yes.
So I'm not really sure what to do there, but I look forward to that. So you can look forward to that on KSL Sports Live, 6 o'clock on Saturday, 10:45 on Sunday nights, where you'll see Sly every weekend. The NFL draft. There's so much going on here, so many moving parts. We had great conversations just in show prep for this show. And I wish we had another hour. We don't.
Right, so we're
going to get into it. There's a lot of interesting things that could happen in this draft. Because if there's some teams that really, really need a quarterback. There are a lot of good quarterbacks in this draft. Let's throw out a couple teams. The Denver Broncos being one of them.
Mm.
My Denver Broncos. Trust me, I know how bad we need a quarterback. The Broncos are sitting at number 12. And here's the dilemma for the Broncos. If this is a draft where they want to pull the trigger on that quarterback, Because if you're going to take a quarterback in the first round, he's your guy. Maybe that doesn't mean he has to start immediately, but you're planning on him being your future quarterback. Otherwise, you wouldn't have wasted your time on that first round pick. And as history has told us, you can get good quarterback value in the other rounds.
Right.
Sometimes patience pays off. Tom Brady, sixth round. Russell Wilson, third round. I could keep going. Right? There's been a lot of good quarterbacks. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
He does nothing but win.
Right.
It helps he was landed with the 49ers, but
I mean,
that goes back to what we always talk about.
That really goes to your point now, though. Do you build those assets around and rely on a quarterback later?
You can find guys. I love Michael Penix Jr., and a lot of NFL scouts are watching things, and they're pointing out the issues. Maybe he has issues with his footwork, or, you know, you look at the injury issues. He's had a lot of bad injuries. But then I watched the brilliance from last season. I'm like, man,
the last two
seasons,
he can
really sling it. And he makes throws that are just like, wow. And he's got a leadership and a poise about him that is elite. I'd love to have that guy be my quarterback. You know what? You could get him in the second round this year. Apparently, I'm looking at mock drafts, and I'm not seeing him in the first round. So how important is it for some of these teams to panic pick a quarterback in the first round when you can wait a little bit, get some of these other elite players? Because there's some really good skill position players. This is a really good receiver draft. This is a really good offensive tackle draft. Maybe paying off or waiting would pay off bigger. So I'm going to use my Broncos as an example. Number 12, you're not getting Caleb Williams. You're not getting Jaden Daniels. You're not even getting Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. You're probably talking more like Bo Nix. We watched Bo Nix closely. Man, he shredded Utah. He looked pretty good. But NFL scouts also have concerns about his ability to throw the football downfield consistently. There's reasons for them to nitpick. He's probably, you know, what is he at the NFL level? I don't know. Does the fact that he's the winningest quarterback in college football history, does that matter? Probably not. I don't think Patrick Mahomes won a lot of games at Texas Tech. Did Texas Tech win a national championship?
No.
So
does he definitely won some Super Bowls.
Exactly. So the fact that J.J. McCarthy's won a national championship, does that mean he's going to be a great NFL quarterback? Why is he rated so high in this draft? So you're the expert here. You've played in the NFL. You know this. Would you feel comfortable taking Bo Nix at number 12? Is that too high?
Is that too high? Yes.
I would agree with you.
I think so. I think you for what the Broncos need a lot of things, right?
Yes, they do.
And so
and they don't have as many picks as normal teams do.
But as you said, you can get some of these quality guys, you know, later in the draft.
You can stockpile picks and trade down.
Right? Like, you know, Bo Nix comes at the number 5 quarterback. You know, there's other quarterbacks. You got Penix, Rattler that's after him, that's shown some good things, of course. For me, Bo Nix is shown to be one of the quarterbacks who I think is either top 3 quarterbacks in this draft with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I love Bo Nix as a quarterback. One, his experience. There's a lot of things that go into it, making him a top quarterback for me. But just the way things will be laid out, because you don't pick him, those teams behind you don't really need a quarterback. So I don't think that you'll be able to pick him up in the second round. Later in the second round with that.
I'd trade down if somebody wants to move up and take somebody else and stockpile some more picks.
Hey, if
and
you can.
Take Michael Penix in the second or third round.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do as GM of the Denver Broncos, and that's coming from a fan. It's just interesting because there's another team, the Minnesota Vikings, who is rumored to be very interested in trading up to get a quarterback in this draft. And if you're the New England Patriots, I don't know what the Patriots are at, what they're doing. They might have interest in doing that, but real quick, we'll look at the top 5 teams in the draft. I mean, right now, they're slotting him as the first 4 picks being quarterbacks. There's really good receivers and offensive linemen in this draft, and you're going to take J.J. McCarthy 4th? You're going to take Drake May 3rd? I'm like, I don't know, man.
I don't see it.
But that's what's going to happen.
But, so, I mean, every year, there's a new record for trades in the draft.
I think teams are going to trade up with New England and Arizona to get those quarterbacks because they're going to panic. They're going to make panic moves. Now, Caleb Williams of the Bears, probably a lock. I think Washington wants Jaden Daniels at quarterback, although you never know with that organization what they could do. But someone's going to trade up. That's what it's looking like. I don't know that you're getting that value with those guys that high. How comfortable would you feel if you're those teams or you're a team trading up that it's worth it to go after Drake May J.J. McCarthy. Maybe even Jaden Daniels.
But that's my thing is, like, who's rating these guys ahead of other guys, right? You got these true quarterbacks in Penix and Nix who've played the position. Both of them are senior. You know, they are experienced quarterbacks and who can deliver the football, who've had great pro days and making things happen. I think they are more of a value than, you know, Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. But that's my opinion. Of course, I'm not a quarterback guru or a GM, but, you know, my opinion is you could get things to protect these assets, you know, in these higher picks and then come back around and get these guys.
No doubt about it.
But you don't want to miss. You don't want to miss.
No,
I had the opportunity to get Penix. Penix turns out the next 6 years to be one of the top tier quarterbacks in the league, and you're just going to be shaking your head. I had it. I had the opportunity.
I took J.J. McCarthy.
I thought it. Yeah. You don't want to be that guy.
We've already traded him for a 6th-round pick. You don't want to be that. Mac Jones, like Justin Fields. We're looking at it right now. All right. We got to get out real quick. We're going to give away tickets. It's Ticket Tuesday. Be caller number 12 at 801-575-ZONE. To win a pair of tickets to the Utah Jazz versus Denver Nuggets game at Delta Center a week from tonight, April 9th. Again, 801-575-ZONE. Number 12. Be that number 12 caller right now, 801-575-ZONE. Jazz Daily will get you ready for the game tonight after this. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
.com.
You know what's coming.
Your daily deep dive into everything Utah Jazz.
It's time!
All season long and even in the offseason, it's Jazz Daily with JJ and Alex on your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it!
It's a Utah Jazz game day, Jazz Cavs tonight coming your way here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Tim Lacombe standing by here shortly. They'll take over for the pregame show starting at 6. For an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith Dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug. Hey, Doug. Nah, still off. I'll work on it. Before we get to the Jazz real quick, good news. Will Hardy just spoke a minute ago at the pregame press conference, and Justin Zanuck has had his kidney transplant. It was successful, and he is now recovering. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Justin, and we wish him well in his recovery. Knowing Justin, he'll be back to work as soon as he possibly can be on this Jazz rebuild. But we hope he gets some good rest, and glad to hear that everything is going well. And I know all of you listening have been having Justin in your thoughts and your prayers, so I wanted to pass along that good news. Donovan Mitchell, out tonight, Sly. Do you think he did that on purpose? Do you think he's trying to
avoid
the situation tonight?
I mean, I'm in the Eastern Conference. I don't need to take it easy at the end of the season. I'm good. Let me make sure I'm rested and refreshed. Who knows? I might get the Knicks or the Sixers in the first round. Let's see what it is. I think he's just resting up.
You don't think he wanted to come here in Salt Lake City and put 50 on the Jazz in front of Jazz fans?
He's like, I don't need that marketability.
Apparently not. Look, I'm kidding. Donovan's doing what he has to do. I'm just joking. But it would have been fun to see Donovan Mitchell on the court tonight. We only get a chance to see him once a year, but he's not going to play. So let's focus on Sam Merrill instead. Sam should get more minutes tonight with Donovan Mitchell out. It's awesome to see Sam Merrill, a Utah State legend, Bountiful High legend, getting good minutes with the Cavaliers, a team that's third in the East. This is a good Cavalier team tonight, Sly. What, right. Real quick, what do you want to see out of this game tonight? What excites you about this game tonight?
Well, one, I like Sam Merrill, right?
Yeah.
I want to see him take off, get some energy before the playoffs hit. Hopefully he can get some opportunity to be a big factor with the Cavs in the Eastern Conference. See him come back home to Utah and see some Utah fans cheer him on. But most importantly for the Jazz, man, as Coach Hardy was saying, I want to see some of these young guys just take off, man. Don't worry about our schedule, where we're at. You know, we only have a couple games. Let's just have some dominance. Play loose. You have nothing to lose for it, but just go out there and make things happen.
Not worried about wins and losses right now, but I just want every time this team goes out to play hard,
right,
and to put on a show and to be entertaining. And I think that's all that fans here ask for. They know the situation. People here aren't dumb. They know the Jazz are in a position where they're just that's winning's tough because they're playing a lot of rookies. But we want to see these rookies play well, want to see them get a chance to develop, want to see these teams compete and play hard when teams like the Cavs come into town. I think that's going to be the case tonight. I think the Jazz are going to give them the best they got. And I don't think it's going to be enough, but the Jazz are going to continue to develop and get these guys to be better. It's always good to see some of the best players in the league here tonight. Donovan not playing, but you're going to see Darius Garland and others tonight for the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's coming up next right now. Let's get to the pregame show after this break. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.